chapter 4. That's where we're going to be at this morning. We're looking at verses 11 through 16. We're pausing our journey through Exodus because we're spending the next few weeks in preparation for Grow Together Weekend. There we go. Yeah, I almost thought about cueing applause behind me, but we're not that sophisticated. But we're getting excited about Grow Together Weekend coming up in a few weeks. And it's not that we're not just launching Grow Together. We're also launching a church-wide focus to get healthy. There we go. Yeah, that one I knew was going to be even tougher. And some of you are like, get healthy. I didn't know we were focusing on that. I'd never heard of this, you know, short-term focus before. And others of you are like, oh my gosh, Tyler, if you don't stop talking about getting healthy and this short-term focus, I'm going to lose my mind. And so I realize there's a spectrum there. And over the next few weeks, I'm putting all my faith, hope, and love in getting us on the same page about the short-term focus here at Trinity. And it's going to be great. I want to dive into it just by launching us in with Scripture, verses 11 through 16 of chapter 4 in Ephesians. Let's read it together. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are growing up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Pray with me. God, would you lead us as a church? We hang on the promise that you will direct our steps, your spirit will convict us, your word will light up our path. And would you help us to hear the call that you have on our lives? God, I just pray that over these next few moments, you would do something special with us as a church body, not just as individuals, but would you make us greater together? Would you knit us together through your word? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Over the years in Val and I's marriage, there's been several times where she has just sort of had to sit me down with real concern about my health. It might be too many consecutive fourth meals in a row. It might be snoring that has me gasping for air like I'm drowning in my own bed. It could be the occasional back muscle that I'm just nursing after doing something simple in the yard. Whatever the trigger, there have been times where she just pleads with me to get healthy. And I respond generally in two different ways, sometimes at the same exact moment. The first way is I launch into denial. You know how to say it, right? I'm totally fine. I'm fine. Everything's good. I launch into denial at best. At worst, I make, I ratchet up the defensive. I shift the blame. I make claims about my life that I actually have no control over. Like, I'm going to live to 102. I'm the picture of health. It's normal for your arm to go numb like that. Whatever it is, I just begin to go into denial. The other extreme is I go into just unfounded determination. I respond with something similar to the effect of, I'm going to have a six-pack by Easter, right? Just you wait. I will show you how I can get healthy. Grand plans, they're backed by nothing. And here's the thing. Val's not expecting a six-pack. She gave up on that a long time ago. She's not worried about the occasional extra meal. What she really wants to know, what would assure her, is that I care about my health. Because she knows that if I care about my health, then actual growth is sure to follow. And over the next few weeks, we're going to explore the short-term focus for our church. And it's to get healthy. We're going to talk about the health of our church, the spiritual health of our church. And we're, when we're cornered about a conversation of our own health, we generally do the same thing. There's a temptation to move towards denial and be like, everything's fine here. We're all good. Or we move towards unfounded determination. It's not grounded or rooted in anything. We make big plans, big promises, but there's no actual cultivation. There's no momentum that's fueled by maturity. What God actually wants from us as a church, wants from us as Trinity, is a lot simpler than that. He wants us to care about our health. He wants us to answer the call he's given us to move towards maturity that's found in him. A church that truly cares about their health, growth follows. Healthy churches don't just happen accidentally, though. And this is why I want us to rally around the idea that healthy churches require cultivating. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's describing in Ephesians 4. This is where we're camping out this morning and over the next few weeks as we move into Grow Together, that Christ has designed his church to grow into maturity. But that maturity, that health, requires cultivating. Healthy growth requires cultivating. And this is where we're going to camp out this morning. I'm going to walk us through Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, point out three requirements for us to get healthy. Because getting healthy doesn't just happen, there's some things that are required for us. I want to expose those things as we move through Scripture, show us where to start, what's required of us to get healthy. We'll start with verse 11. It says that he's talking about Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul explains that Jesus himself gave the church its leaders and its organizational structure. He gave all of that so that the church is not just organized randomly, but is actually arranged with a purpose. In the chapter 4, Paul's already called the believers to walk worthy of their calling. The Ephesians were doing the same thing we're doing at Trinity. They were inviting people to hear Jesus' call and answer with their lives. Then Paul explains how Christ makes that possible. Jesus gives them all of these leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so that they could be equipped and built up together. I want us to notice the direction that this passage flows in. Christ equips the saints for the work of the ministry, builds up the body of Christ until we reach maturity. That word until shows us the goal of the whole process. The structure that Christ gave the church is meant to move us towards unity, knowledge of Christ, and ultimately towards spiritual maturity, what we're calling the health of a church. So the church isn't meant to drift spiritually or to stay busy. We're to move intentionally towards maturity. God's given us the church to grow us. And getting healthy requires the clarity of that focus, requires clarity of focus. There's a study done, I read in a book after one of these conversations with Val, about how you can just simply step on the scale every day, and you can begin to, just by doing that alone, you don't have to come up with a diet program, you don't have to come up with a workout routine, just the habit of stepping on the scale every day, you will begin to get healthier and lose weight. And what that study revealed was showing that just by focusing on health, just getting some clarity on the metrics of health, bring about health. The implication for our church is that the same way, if we begin to focus on our health and we begin to prioritize it, then we will become aimed at the same thing that God calls us to, that we will be aimed at maturity, but it requires a clarity of focus. Our vision at Trinity hasn't changed. It's still the same vision, to invite you to listen to Jesus's call on your life and to answer with your life. But within that vision, Trinity has had many short-term focuses, many short-term initiatives and seasons. And leaders often describe these visions and seasons and focuses with different metaphors. I want some of them you may have heard before. There's hills you can climb. There's waves you can ride, foundations to lay, or a garden to cultivate. It's that last one that best describes where we are as a church. The foundations have already been laid. We're building on top of them. This church was started in a living room. It moved to a middle school. And then people here bought land and buildings. And those were just the material foundations. This has all been built on incredible spiritual foundations, a love for God's word, an expectation that God does way more than what is possible with the people that are in the room, and a deep Christ-like love for others. I could go on, but the foundations are strong and they've been laid well. Hills have been climbed also. We're standing on years of hard work that's been before us. Waves have been ridden, like contemporary worship, small group ministry, casual culture, have all brought good growth to our church. But for now, we're cultivating a garden. Our short-term focus is to get healthy, and that's the best picture for where we're at as a church. The best metaphor is what we're doing together is tending this garden. We're cultivating together as we get healthy. And so what this means is that we're going to begin to clarify our focus in the short term on things that move us towards health and maturity. What we're focusing on this year is healthy leaders and healthy teams. We're aiming at clear leadership in every ministry team. And not only that, we're aiming at healthy teams, team members that are equipped for ministry, because they have strong leaders and because we invest in them, not just their knowledge, but knowing and being fully equipped for the ministry that they're called to. The word equipped in Scripture is more than just knowing how to do the thing. The word equipped in Scripture means it's a word that doctors use when they reset bones. So if you came in with a broken bone, they would equip you and equip your arm. If you were a fisherman and your net was broken, you would not just mend your net, you would equip your net. If you were a chiropractor, they would equip your neck. The point is that you are being reset, reformed, realigned, and ready for the ministry that God has called you to. All of these things are what we're aiming at, building, and focusing on. The clarity of our focus this year is to build healthy teams with clear leadership. And we want you to be a part of it. Over the next few weeks, as we expose different opportunities, as there's ways for you to grow and step in to join us in the ministry, not just here, but ministry out there, lean into that. Look and invite and ask God to show you where you can be a part of it. Scripture continues in verse 13. It says, until we all attain to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. And in 14, it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Paul's explaining that the church is meant to grow until we attain maturity. It's not just simple activity or attendance. Health comes from maturity. And notice that Paul contrasts these two different conditions. He calls it mature manhood on one side. That's how he describes health, being Christ-like. And the alternative is remaining like a child, being tossed to and fro. Paul's point is clear, that without intentional growth towards maturity, believers will remain unstable. They'll be easily shaped by whatever pressure or idea comes their way. So it's not just that the church doesn't grow healthy by accident. The goal is maturity in Christ. The logic follows as God's going to give you leaders. He's going to give you people in the church to build up the ministry of the church. But if you don't focus on the maturity in Christ, you'll get easily knocked down. Jesus pointed his disciples to the same idea. He gathered his disciples around the people that would go off and build the church, and he taught them to stay connected to the vine. He one of my favorite ways to illustrate this is Jesus was explaining that apart from him, you can do nothing. I love teaching kids and asking them, do you ever see a blueberry bush squeeze and strain to pop out a blueberry? Of course not. Their commitment is to the vine, to staying connected. A branch produces fruit simply by staying connected. This is what Jesus' point was. Connection is the goal. Maturity is how we get there. When the branch stays connected to the vine, then fruit naturally follows. In the same way, our commitment cannot be simply to momentum. Our commitment must be to maturity in Christ. Momentum pops up all over the place. It can appear quickly, but maturity comes from staying rooted in the life that Christ gives us. The implication for our church is to watch out for momentum and instead lean towards maturity, to commit ourselves to maturity. That healthy growth requires a commitment to maturity. Churches can experience growth, excitement, can experience a lot of different momentum. And by the grace of God, right now, our church has incredible momentum. There's all sorts of momentum, every corner of this place, every ministry team. We've got mission trips. We're back on the map. We've got a calendar ahead of us where we're going places and we're moving again in missions. Our youth is growing. Last week alone, I thought this was incredible. There's a huge milestone. Our youth worshiped, led by a band made up of entirely youth students. That's been a huge milestone in the youth ministry. We're gaining ground on clear leadership in nearly every one of our ministry teams. Most recently, Dwayne's joined the staff as our lead deacon. It's the first time ever we've ever had a part-time position for lead deacon. Week two of his administration, he had a bucket lift all over campus. That's momentum, right? Jim and Jeannie have taken on leadership of the greeting team. He was in here the other day making new plans for the lobby. I was like, awesome. Do whatever you want. Tear down the walls. It's momentum. We've got 20-somethings joining small groups and Bible studies. I thought this was so special. Emily Bollock, we found out this week, she just moved with her husband to Florida. She's now working full-time in children's ministry at her church. And if you know Emily, it's so awesome to see. She grew up here. She was equipped here. And so it's just incredible to see that kind of momentum. God's clearly doing stuff here. He's moving in all of us. But momentum itself is not the goal. This is what Paul's warning us about. He's saying momentum can happen quickly. It can happen emotionally. It can even happen accidentally. Because momentum without maturity eventually leads to instability. We will get knocked down if we move towards momentum without moving towards maturity. We must commit ourselves to maturity. One of the things we're doing in this short-term focus is to just sort of raise up an assessment of how are we assessing our maturity? What does even getting healthy look like? What metrics are we using to gauge our spiritual maturity? And we've just come up with three B's. Three B's are bowing, bonding, and building. We want to be a church where everyone is regularly bowing in worship, that is orienting our weeks, that we start with worship, and then we move from there to be bonding in discipleship, that we're really connected, we have actual relationships with the people here, and that we're bonding in discipleship, and that we're joining Jesus and building his kingdom. This has become just a simple way for us to gauge the maturity and to gauge the balance of those things. So often it's that we're just out of balance. We don't want to be a church that is busy building and forgetting to cultivate a heart of worship that's bowing. We don't want to be a church that's just gathering to worship but not truly bonded in discipleship with one another. The call is not for one of these, but rather all three is a sign of growth and maturity. And this is where we want to head as a church. This is not chasing momentum. This is chasing maturity and expecting God to give the growth and momentum. Paul continues. He says in verse 16, from the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul concludes this entire section by describing how the church actually gets healthy, how we actually grow. He says the whole body is joined and held together. When each part's doing its work, the body grows and builds itself up. He's been describing the church as this body, with Christ as the head and every believer a part of that body. The goal is maturity. Paul makes it clear that it's not something that we'll ever reach in isolation. This is something that we do interlocked with each other. If you've ever had a chance to visit a redwood forest, you've seen this. You've seen that there are these giant redwood trees. You can't wrap your arms around them. You can drive cars through them. It's just this incredible scene of forest there. You're wondering, how in the world are these trees standing? And here's the thing that's interesting about them. I have a lot of redwood facts if you guys are interested. No. You'd expect their roots to be like stories deep into the ground. But the reality is they're like 5 or 6 feet deep, and that's it. The way they stand firm, these giant trees, is because each root system is interlocked and networked, held together to the tree next to it. The reason these giant trees don't fall down is not because their roots are so deep into the ground, but because they're so connected to one another. The same is true. This is what Paul is painting a picture of in our church, that getting healthy requires a community to get there. That if we are not locked in together, if we are not held together like joints in a body, then we will never really grow up into the maturity that Christ has for us and Christ calls us to. Getting healthy requires this kind of community to get there. So often we think spiritual maturity is a isolated individual exercise. Paul paints a completely different picture. And Paul's not painting a picture here of a community that comes together, sings kumbaya, and then just leaves. He's painting a picture of people held together by a mission greater than themselves so that they stick it out with one another. Notice what he says, so they speak truth in love, so that they say the hard things to one another, so that they move into the kind of work that's required to do with others. They tackle things that can't be done alone. This is what God has called us to. We have to be willing to train together. And really, that's the heart of the Grow Together event. The whole heart behind it is so that we would not just grow individually, but that we would learn to grow together, that we would walk into the maturity that Christ has for us as a church body. And so our focus for Grow Together 26 is cultivate. That's the theme of this year's Grow Together. It's to cultivate. We're cultivating good health. We want to get healthy as our short-term focus. And if you're like, what the heck is Grow Together? You're about to go to an orientation, so hang tight. Grow Together is a weekend. We started last year with breakout sessions. It's this homegrown, church-wide conference is the best way that we've come up with to explain it. But like you, when you go to a conference, there's different breakout sessions to choose from. We have our own teachers here in the church that are leading different breakout sessions for you to attend. We've made this super accessible. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to pay for anything. You show up to church like you would otherwise, and we are going to be equipped together. We've made childcare available, and we've got food for you too. So just come be a part of it, and it's going to be awesome. It's all pretty much most of the day Sunday, and we've even got some workshops on Saturday. Our leadership team, the first Tuesday of every month, small group leaders, ministry team leaders, staff, elders, we gather to begin to plan ministry, to get aligned. And this past Tuesday, we were getting ready for Grow Together. And what we did was pray together, but we also put up expectations, our things that we're asking God to do during Grow Together weekend. I want to share just some of those things with you. Some of them were that we would raise up new leaders, that new people who've never taken on leadership responsibilities before would step into leadership in different ministries. We also are praying and expecting God to move some people who've never gotten involved before in ministry, to move them to joining a ministry team where they know that God has called them to and equipped them for. One person just simply is expecting God to form new friendships here, new relationships, and cultivate those that lead to relationships that lead to ministry in the future. All of these things we are expecting God to do this weekend. But it all lives under this umbrella of trusting the promise God has made that he's going to equip us for the ministry that he has for us. And it's not just the ministry here, but it's the ministry that God has set us up for in our lives, at home, on the soccer field, wherever he has us. That's the vision for the ministry that God has for us. And so I want to walk through, again, this is going to be a little bit like an orientation. When you walked in, you've been given two different sheets. There was an orange one, and there's one that looks like this. Everybody just hold up the orange one so I know you got it. All right. And then there's this one. This is the one that I'm going to walk you through, but here's what I want you to do at the same time is this exercise is trying to identify which three sessions you would like to attend during Grow Together. At the end of the service, we're going to ask you to give us that orange paper, put it in a basket at the end of service so that we can begin to know who's going to plan to come for what, and we can begin to accommodate the rooms accordingly. So that just kind of helps us to better be ready for the weekend. But I want to walk through each of these classes so that you guys can know and God can begin to prompt in you where you might need to go. And I'm going to do this after every single one of them. I'm going to say you should do it. That's how it's going to be. Every first service, I was like, you really need to do this one. And then I said it about 15 times. So just know that's going to happen. This first one is under, over, meet and greet. A healthy church is one where radical responsibility is given and received from one generation to another. One of the things that's been sort of just gnawing at our hearts as leaders over the past year or so is that we need to pass the baton from one generation of leadership to the next. And what this is going to require is us giving responsibility to young people that all makes us terrified, right? This is what we need to move into as a church, to be like holding our breath, oh my gosh, I can't believe we put this person in charge of this. That's what we've got to be doing. And so we figured the best first step is to simply put people over 60 and under 30 in the same room, and we'll just shake it all up and see what happens. It's really the heart behind it, to swap stories, pass wisdom, and begin to create this kind of community that is built around connecting the generations that want to help each other keep the baton moving. The second one is shaped to serve and glorify. This is one that I plan on attending with my oldest daughter. It's Saturday afternoon. This is all about cultivating and understanding your spiritual gifts. God has given each one of us a unique gift, and we have to use it for his church. That's why he gave it to us. It's really that simple. If you're sitting here thinking, I don't even know what my gift is, then this is for you. Go explore what that looks like, what God has given you to build his kingdom, and you can move through that. It's Saturday afternoon, and it moves into Sunday morning as well. So just note that this is a two-part, this is the only two-part workshop that we have, but it's worth it. It's a lot of good information. The Sunday breakout sessions start with Awakening to God in the Present Moment, led by Mary Langford. This is, if you've ever met with Mary, you know her. She knows a lot about what it looks like to enter the presence of God. And this idea that that God is never far from us. The idea is that we're usually the ones distracted. We're usually the ones who don't know how to enter the presence of God. So this is going to be practical steps that you can use to position just being aware of God's presence, how to do a personal devotion where you're aware of God's presence. So if that interests you, be a part of that. I can assure you it's going to come with a lot of good information, maybe some new information for you to use during your personal devotion time. So you should do that one. You have something in your teeth. led by Cole Lusby. I came up with that title mostly to troll Cole, but the idea here is that talking to those you love about the sin in their life can be intimidating, and as a result, we often avoid it. And yet, Scripture calls us to speak truth in love, especially those that we're in community with, especially those that we're discipling with. We need to be able to speak into their lives and say, hey, there's this going on, and we need to be able to call it out, but there's a way to do that that Scripture prescribes. There's just a lot of information and resources that Cole can equip you with to make that something that you're doing as God leads. The third is Boat Life by Dennis Malcolm. Hearing Jesus' call and answering with your life takes incredible courage. It takes a first step of faith. And so this one is all about where you can find that courage to actually say yes, to get out of the boat, to do the thing, to answer with your life. And so Dennis is going to lead that one. That's a good one. You should be there for that. The Sound of Your Theology, led by Lindsay Davidson. So the songs we sing each week are actually chosen because of the theological message that they give. We sing along, and it shapes how we think about God, how we view God. It shapes and forms our theology, which is just a practical way saying of our faith. Everything that we know about God is formed each week by the songs that we sing. And that same approach can be applied to the personal music that you listen to in your own devotion, your own worship. And so if you want to understand how that works and how you can take that same strategy to form your theology in your personal life through music, be there for that one. It's going to be good. From Control to Trust, Surrendering Our Adult Children, led by Leslie Hudson, Rose Bollock, and Paula Rivas. These women are prayer warriors. They're here weekly praying together, praying for their adult children. And so this is something that if you've been discouraged, if you've got an adult child and it just feels like I'm saying the same prayers over and over and over again, and that becomes discouraging, this can help you. There's going to be some encouragement here for you. You can hear their testimonies and how they have surrendered their children to the Lord, the power behind that, and there will actually be a time of prayer and some resources on how you can continually pray for your adult children. Family devotion time for every family. It's going to be wild and chaotic, just like if you've ever tried to lead a devotion time for your family. This is going to be a third session. Kids are invited. We're going to have everybody there. It's going to be a real-time scenario of what it's like to lead a family devotion. I'm just going to walk through some different tools that make that easy. This is one of the things that's super important, but it's so often neglected because it can be difficult to do. It can be discouraging, and so it's just one of those things where you're like, I've got to start this again for the 80th time, and that's okay. We'll learn how to do it together. Moving mountains. Jesus promised we could move mountains, but oftentimes these mountains just seem difficult to move, and if you've hung out with Randy before, if you've ever hung out with him long enough, you know he lives on the promises of God. He prays the promises of God, and this time together is going to be a teaching that idea, how we can move mountains, how our faith can be moved to trust what God promises in his word and how we can pray that and be aligned so that we see God move mountains in our lives. Supporting youth to stand firm in a confused culture. This is going to be led by Zach. Zach's our youth pastor. Our kids are bombarded with all sorts of messages about their identity, and they get these messages from all sorts of cultural influences. That is not the headline. We all know that. What this is going to be about is how we can actually support our youth through that. That is their lived experience. What our students need, our youth need, is not just more shock about the culture that they live in. They get enough of that. What they need is actual biblical support. What does it look like for us as parents? What does it look like for us as influencers over their lives to actually rally around them, support them as they move and confront a culture that is just twisting them up in all kinds of different directions? Zach's heart behind this is to move them from not just being influenced by culture, but actually culture shapers. So this is going to be a good one if you're a parent of a teenager or have any influence on the lives of teens and preteens. Get a sneak peek at the future of small groups. Nearly 30 years ago, we started our small group ministry, And a lot has changed, and Jody has been working hard on revamping different parts of that. And because our aim is at growth groups, we want our groups that are meeting together, growing together. And so she's going to speak into the future of some things that we're going to be trying to move and add to small groups, and what that looks like and how that can shape the next 30 years of discipling in our church. So come get a sneak peek of that. It's going to be really informative, really good. Getting ready for church, getting here on Sundays can feel like a rush. It can feel like a routine. But if you switch that up and you begin to prepare for an encounter with the Lord when you show up here for church, it can radically transform how you actually begin to hear from the Lord. So there's going to be some practical stuff, physically, mentally, and spiritually preparing to come here each week. And last is becoming a Bible teacher, taking on the task of teaching God's Word. We've got some longtime Bible teachers, Marcel and Donna Bouillard, who are going to be teaching that class. They have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to teaching the Bible. They've done it for years, and they have completely different perspectives and approaches. So it'll be really cool if you've ever thought, you know what, I should start moving into teaching the Word, I should start teaching the Bible, or if you're currently doing it and you want to learn more, you can get a lot of your questions answered in that class. So, everybody still with me?
Yeah.
How's your orange paper looking? You got some things, did you make some decisions?
Quick question.
All right, this is fun.
The Saturday workshop, those are sequential, are they not?
Yes, they are. They are sequential. The Saturday night one leads into the Sunday morning. So there's part one on Saturday, part two on Sunday. I'm not going to ask for any more questions. It was welling up inside of me, and then I said, bad idea, bad idea, bad idea. So, but I do want you to take your orange paper, fill out which ones you want to attend that will help us, and you can put those in the baskets at the end. We're really excited about what God's going to do at Grow Together. It's going to be an amazing opportunity. I know that he's going to equip us for some things. I know and believe that there are people here who feel stuck that are going to feel unstuck after that weekend. But the conversations that I started with, the conversations between Val and I about my health, what I want to point out is that those conversations happen because she loves me. She really loves me. She wants me to be healthy. She wants me to be strong. She wants me around for a long time. And it works the same way with our call to get healthy. It's a call from Christ because he loves us. Jesus calls us to maturity in him because he loves us. Until you and I can see that this is not a call to get healthy from me, it's not a call to get healthy from our church leadership, but this is a call to get healthy from our Lord Christ, then we can see that this is a call that comes from love. And when we do, we can answer with our lives. Our focus right now is simple, to just get healthy, to care about our own personal spiritual health, but to care about our health as a church collectively, to pursue maturity, to cultivate the kind of church that bows in worship, that's bonded together, and is building the kingdom that Christ has called us to. God will give us the momentum. We just need to commit ourselves to the maturity that's found when we pursue Christ. Let's pray together. God, we come before you and we just ask again that you would move in our church, God, that you would show us the next steps, that you would give us the direction as to answer the call you've given us to maturity, God, that we would be built up together, that we would not just pursue you alone or individually, but that you would give us a vision for what it looks like to pursue you as a church. God, to focus our efforts and our energy on things that will move us to maturity so that we can stand firm and strong. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Why don't you stand with us as we continue.